Like for me, it was like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man. As I started thinking about that, I was even started to think about what I used to watch when I was a kid, all of those, all of the above. I'd race home, get something to eat, some sandwiches, sit in front of the telly and watch Superman save somebody, rescue the city, you know, all of that. And they were people that I just loved watching all of that. But at 19, I met the greatest hero of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ who created heaven and earth. In John 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and in the first 10 verses, it talks about Jesus who was here in the beginning and who he created everything. How amazing is God that he came to earth, the King. He washed, there's a story about him coming and washing the disciples' feet, coming and breaking bread with humanity, with humans, with you and with me. Later we're going to take communion and he's going to take it with you. This is our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to rescue all of humankind, the whole world, not just Gotham City or Metropolis or the city of Manhattan, but all of humankind. Jesus is for everyone. The King came to earth not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, when he was here, he made many, many profound statements. He said, I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In 1924, two men, George Mallory and Andrew Irvine, climbed the summit, which is Mount Everest, and they're last seen 250 metres from the top by a geologist. He was heading down. He wasn't heading to go to the summit, but he was heading down. They never made it back. No one knows to this day whether they made it to the top or not. This was in 1924. In 1999, they found George Mallory's body. And in 2024, they believe they found Andrew Irvine's body. They found their body. Jesus, they never found his body. We know that Jesus Christ's statements are true. The Bible teaches that he died and rose from the dead. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 3, we can put that up if you like. I passed on to you what was most important and what also passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. Just as the scriptures say, he was buried and was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, as I said, his followers saw him still alive. He was then seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, Paul had seen him also. Why would the apostles lie? The people that saw him, why would they lie? Normally, if somebody lies, there's a reason, there's a benefit for them. What would they get out of lying? Well, this is what they got. They got rejected, misunderstood, persecuted, And many of them, if not all of them, were martyred. They're pretty good perks, aren't they? Yeah, pretty good perks. I loved the life of C.S. Lewis. He was a professor at Oxford Uni who said that God is a myth. He was very good friends with Mr. Tolkien and many others. And they would meet in a pub in Oxford, in a tavern, and they would share about life. They'd share about philosophy. They would share about religion, politics, and so on. Many things. Actually, that pub, you went to that, didn't you? You and Brianna? My wife was at that, went to that tavern. I went there many years later, but it was closed. I think it was closed for renovations. Tolkien challenged C.S. Lewis. They debated, they chatted. C.S. Lewis eventually did his research and was confronted with the truth that he just was so, I'll use this word, just so offended with the truth that he could not deny what Jesus had done. That in his own words, he said he was the most reluctant converter in all of the United Kingdom. Obviously, his whole journey was not reluctant, because once he came into faith, he began to write lots of books expressing the life of Christ in many different ways. The truth will set you free. The truth set him free. Sometimes that's what can happen. When you're confronted with the truth, it's like, I've got to make a decision. I've got to make a decision. I remember listening to Wes Huff and Steve Bartlett. And Steve Bartlett said to him, Wes, am I going to hell? And Wes Huff said, well, the case is that we are all going to hell, all of us. But there's a but there. But for those that receive Jesus Christ, you don't have to face that judgment. You don't have to face that judgment. In the 18th century, Gilbert West was a gentleman who said, I am going to disprove Christianity. He began researching and writing the book on how he was going to disprove Christianity, wanting to disprove the resurrection. What happened to him? He ended up finding Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. He ended up writing a book, and he wrote material on the history and the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the 19th century, Lew Wallace, a general in the American Army, was approached by a friend. And because of his high profile, he said to him, let's write a book disproving the resurrection. Let's do that. He began to research and began writing his book. By the time he got to chapter 4, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And what book did Lew Wallace write? Can you put that up for me, please? Ben-Hur. Many of you probably watched that film. In the 20th century, Frank Morrison, a lawyer and a journalist, he would do the same thing, disproving Christianity. Being a lawyer, you know, he could shift the truth around, make things look like, you know, how we wanted it to look. He wanted to disprove the resurrection, that it did not occur. In the process, he too could not disprove it, and he came to faith, being a follower of Jesus Christ. And he too wrote a book. Can we put that up? Who Moved the Stone? That's the book he wrote. Who Moved the Stone? Many people have tried to disprove the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ authenticates everything he has ever said and done. Christianity is not true because it works. It works because it's true. C.S. Lewis said, "I believe in Christianity because I believe in the sun has risen. Not because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. By it I see everything else." Easter Friday reminds us of the problems of humanity and that we need rescuing. Jesus came to rescue us. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to give his life a ransom for us." When you suffer, he suffers. When your heart is broken, his heart is also broken. He knows your pain, he feels your pain. When you've been victimized, so is he. When you've been falsely accused, so is he. Jesus promises that that day will come, that there will be a new heaven, a new earth, a resurrected earth, and we will have resurrected bodies. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more weeping. You know, I have sinned. We've all been born. We have that DNA in us. We can't get that out. We're all guilty of sin, as they say. All of us. Nobody is not prone to that. We all have. We've all lied. We have all sinned. And there is nothing that I can do. And the scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our hope. He is our deliverer. He is our peace, like Kate said. You know, it was a tough journey. It was horrible. But Jesus came. He didn't say to Kate, "Kate, go get your life together and then come and see me." And he never said to all of you here, "Go get your life together and then come and see me. Then you can come to church." No way. We're all basket cases in one way or another. Some more than others. Not me. So Good Friday, what is it? What is so good about celebrating today? Well, God promises forgiveness. God promises to cleanse us. Meaning comes into our life. Purpose comes into our life. Jesus came so he can be with you personally. So what happens when we give our life to Christ? The Holy Spirit, the third part of the Godhead, comes into our life. The Holy Spirit, the peace, the joy, the presence of God comes and resides within us. Makes a big difference. Before Christ, they had to sacrifice bulls and goats. There was no forgiveness of sins. Only their sins were covered. When John saw Jesus, when he was baptizing people, he said, "Here now is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we don't have to walk in guilt or shame of our past, of maybe what we did yesterday. That's why it's Good Friday. He is not against you. He is for you. He wants you to do well. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. He wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to get out of life everything you can. But of course, walking with him and doing it his way. He is the resurrection and the life. He that believes upon him will live, even though you die. He is the resurrection and the life. So this morning we're going to, this is our communion table over here. And we're going to take communion this morning. And this is my scripture this morning I'd like to share at this time. Let's stand up. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and I will write them on their minds. And then he adds, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. God chooses not to remember what you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, yesterday. When you come and you repent and you ask for forgiveness, God chooses not to remember our sins ever, ever again. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask the middle here and the far, on my right-hand side, that we're going to play some music. Then you can come and you're going to take a piece of bread and a little cup of grape juice. Then you can go back to your seat and you can just meditate and reflect upon what Jesus Christ has done for us today on Good Friday. So if we can start, that'd be great. Thank you. People to my right and the middle here, come on through. Please, if you don't feel comfortable doing it, that's quite okay. You can stay seated or standing, please yourself. Okay. Body.
Drink this, all of you. This is my blood. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood. Forgiveness of sins, God's new covenant.
And over in the far left hand side, you're most welcome to come. For many people, this wing over here, please come on down.
For the forgiveness of sins, drink this. eat. This is my body. Drink this, all of you. This is my blood.
Thank you. This is how in Peter it says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Jesus paid the debt for us. He ransomed us because he loves us. Maybe this morning you're here for the first or second or third time. And I'd also give you an opportunity to make that decision to follow Jesus Christ. Revelations, it says that Jesus stands at the door of your life and he knocks. And he says, if any man or woman hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And I will be with you. He comes by his Holy Spirit. He will dwell in your heart. He will let you know that you are his child. He will let you know that you are his. Let's stand up. Thanks, Carolyn. Going to ask everybody to pray with me. And if you're here and you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and to forgive you of your sins, and I'm going to ask you to pray that with us. If you want to choose Jesus, choose this prayer, mean it from your heart. And he will come into your life. And you will see. You will see that he is the light of the world. It may not happen overnight or straight away, but I know he will be there. And on your journey, something will click. It may be straight away. It may be in a day or two or a week or whenever. But it will. You will see. There'll be a peace. I remember a woman from Somalia. She grew up as a Muslim. She ran away. She didn't run away, but she was sent by her parents from Somalia to a Middle East country to get married at such a young age. When the plane stopped in the Netherlands, she said, "This is my chance to get out. I don't want this." She got out as a young woman. She went on to have quite a really good, successful life. She was a professor. She'd studied, went through uni, became a professor, got married, had two beautiful children, had a great career. She was a professed, she said she was an atheist. she knocked around with Hawkins and many other people like that. They were atheists. They would go do debates and things. She wasn't sure what it was, but she wasn't doing well. She was quite depressed. She was quite down. She went to see a therapist, a psychologist. And after many meetings, the psychologist said to her, "I think you're spiritually bankrupt. You need something spiritual. Have you ever thought of anything like that?" And the psychologist said to her, as they discussed it, "Write down what you want out of God, out of life, out of, it could be Buddhism." And he told her, the psychologist told her, "There's Buddhism, there's Hinduism." She wrote down what she wanted. And she looked at all the religions. And she said to the psychologist, "It's Christianity, isn't it?" Everything lined up for her. So she began this journey. She just started to pray and talk to God. And she said, "You know, I just found that as I began this journey of praying to God, to Jesus, that my depression and my anxiety began to lift." She says, "That's my personal experience. That's what I have experienced." She says, "Believing in nothing, but as an atheist," she said, "that gave me nothing. There was nothing but Jesus had given her life and hope." Now she travels the world. Are you spiritually bankrupt this morning? Are you spiritually bankrupt? You've tried everything. You've done everything. You've been here. You've been there. Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And after 3 days, rising from the dead. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood today. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for paying the price for me. I once was in sin, but now you have made me the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen.